This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome all of you wherever you are. If you're out in a car, if you're on the internet or some part of the world listening on the internet, we welcome you to this program, and we're honored to be here with you today. In fact, on Friday of this week, Donna and I celebrated our 55th wedding anniversary and also our 19th year on WCNO Radio. Isn't that amazing, Pastor Donna? We've been on the radio here for 19 years with our program
July the 8th.
Yeah, Raising the Standard. So we're honored to be here with you. As always, we hope you stay tuned in for the entire program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And it's a privilege to be here and speak things of the Word of God to you. You heard our intro. We do a lot of things with a Jewish understanding. And we know that God gave the Jewish people all those thoughts and everything. And they were all written down in this book I have in front of me, called the Holy Bible. We teach out of the King James Version Bible. I believe this is the Bible that God wants us to be in. It's the truth, and so we love it. And so hope you can stay tuned, as we said, for the entire program. If you'd like to get a copy of what we're going to discuss here today, all we ask for is a love offering. And maybe you don't want anything. Maybe you just want to send a love offering. But if you'd want something we're going to talk about, like this teaching today, all we ask for is a gift from you. And you just ask the Lord what He'd have you to give and mail it in, and we'll give you a CD or a tape for the program today, and then you can listen to it again, whatever your desire would be. We also offer a book that I wrote quite a few years ago. I keep adding to it all the time. It's the God's Prophetic Calendar, and it's called The Pictures of the Messiah as Revealed in the Lord's Festivals and Appointed Times. And that's available also for $25 and save maybe $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll be glad to get that out to you. And a lot of things we talk about on the radio over the past these 19 years are in that book, a lot of things. Now, some things we didn't totally cover, but the majority of the things that are important are in that book for you to glean, and all the appointed times are covered, and plus some other things. We have two lessons on Daniel chapter 9, and we have a lesson on Hanukkah, a lesson on Purim, and how it all fits in prophetically. And those dates and appointed times that God has will all show up in a time called Jacob's trouble at the end, to give us the time and the season of certain events. And those appointed times are there for that purpose. And we talk about this a lot on this program, that the first four appointed times that God put in place, well, the first one was the Sabbath, we know, but the next four was what? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the Feast of Trumpets. And those have all been fulfilled. Now, the last three we talk about so much is what? The trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. These are all Jewish things, but also we glean from that because it gives us the timing and the season of everything that God would have us to know. And so we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, as we always ask you to do if you can. We love you. We're on this program because we want to raise the standard of the body of Christ, and boy, does it need to be raised today with what we see going on. And so we're here to teach, train, and activate if we possibly can, and you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you today. And we know that you'll be blessed, not because of Don and I, but because of the Word of God. So, Pastor Don, you got a couple things you want to mention there on our calendar Before we proceed here,
I just want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, every Friday night and some Saturdays, and every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Our Friday night services start at, we have a Shabbat service, and that starts at 7 p.m. And what is that all about? Well, we come together to worship the Lord and to begin the day. It's a day of the rest.
The rest that God gave us, yeah.
That's right. And, you know, God told Moses, he says, remember, in the Ten Commandments, he said, remember the Sabbath,
Sabbath, yeah,
and to keep it holy. So God gave the Sabbath to man that we would have rest. Yeah. It's for us. Amen. God doesn't need to rest. You know that, you know.
Yeah.
But we need to rest, and he knows that. And so mm-hmm. that we have come together on the Sabbath, and we often have communion, and we spend time seeking God's presence. And that's on Fridays at 7 p.m. And then, of course, today we are not going to be having any services today,
right?
But starting next Saturday, we will pick up again on our Saturday classes, right? We have our worship dance classes, and then in the afternoon, and then we also have a teaching video at 4 o'clock, and then after that we close with our Hadalah meal, and we close out the Shabbat. That's on Saturday, and we have a little meal around 6 o'clock, and then we come together again on the first day of the week. And we come at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we come to what? Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that's out of Revelation 19:10, and the Lord gave you that as the name for the church, because we're to worship God. Amen? Because the testimony of who? Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is the spirit of prophecy.
Prophecy, sure.
That's
is.
In Revelation 19:10.
Sure.
So praise the Lord. I just want to say hello to you out there that are listening. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island and their family that are building the temple of God.
Hallelujah.
An apostolic and prophetic church and ministry, reaching the lost and reaching those, teaching also the truth about the prophetic days, the prophetic last days, about the spirit of prophecy, about what God is doing in this day and this hour. They are apostles and prophets on that island. And they are teaching and ministering to people there and building a house of God, which is, it's going up. The walls are all up.
That's right.
And the roof will be going on soon. And so, you know, and then they've been living in a tent, just like they did in the wilderness for several years now.
The church is in the tent, yeah.
The church has been in the tent.
Yeah.
Like in the wilderness. And
that's
so,
right.
But the tent, the foundation has been set. And, of course, the building is going up. Not only is the spiritual foundation set, but the foundation for the actual building is set.
Lord.
And it's going to be a strong building. It will withstand the storms. And, you know, God wants us to be able to withstand the storms the storms in our life.
Right.
That we can stand against the storms that will come towards us. Amen. Just like he wants to build a building, an actual building, that's not going to fall down or blow away when this, he talks about building on sand and building mm-hmm. on different kinds of ground. Well, there's a natural part there and there's a spiritual part.
Absolutely.
So you got to have both.
You need both.
And so we need to build a spiritual house. And when we build that spiritual house with God, he's going to help us to build the foundation right here on this earth that we'll be able to live and walk in his word and do what's right. And that's what's wrong with our country right now. We're not built on the spiritual foundation that we should be, or maybe it was at one time, but you know, it's cracked.
That's right. Big crack.
There's a crack. And so what happens when there's cracks in things? Bugs get in, devils get in, and that's what's happened in our nation. And our leaders have allowed that to happen. And so, you know, what happens? So we got to get back on that foundation of the Lord, of God, the truth. Like you're talking about, we're raising the standard, the truth. So when our nation, and I pray that it does, come back to that place, then, you know, he'll mend those places that have been cracked.
And we have to repent, don't we?
But we have to repent.
That's right.
And we have to turn, just like it says over there, we have to turn from our wicked ways. We have to call out to God. We can't call out and say, we're going to be the greatest. Well, you know, God is the one who raises up kings and brings them down. God is the one who makes things great. And God is the one who causes things many times to even crumble.
That's right.
And people won't agree with that. But, you know, if we don't stand in righteousness, you know, God's going to hear our prayers.
That's right.
We got to live a righteous life, and that doesn't just go for individuals, but goes for also a nation and a government. When they turn away and they start beginning to make laws that go against God's word, they are shaking their fist at God.
That's right.
Thinking that nothing's going to happen.
That's right.
But God honors those who do the right thing. If our nation would change and those leaders and we repent, we get some good justices in there, Supreme Court justices,
that's right,
that would make the laws according to the Word of God, not according to what people want, but according to what God says. You know what? We would see righteousness being raised up again in our nation.
That's right.
And so, you know, it takes each and every person, and everyone has a something to do to bring this to pass.
As the scripture says, what? Righteousness will exalt what? A nation?
A nation.
A city, a home, a church, whatever.
A person.
But sin is a reproach to all people. And so God hates that. And I keep thinking about, you know, we've talked about this homosexual issue a lot. But, you know, if people want to live that way, that's their choice, and that will be with their judgment between them and God. But when a government passes a law and makes it legal for anyone, all right, well, there's going to be a higher judgment. Now, whoever thought this country would have that law passed about same-sex marriage and then put the rainbow colors, or part of them, on the White House like they're bragging about it? Well, you know, that's going to bring higher judgment in this country. That's where we're on a trail for judgment, unless we turn around and get away from these things. And so we're doing all this in the government to please people, and we've taken freedom into a place where it's called sin now.
Well, that's so because of the government, because of that our White House being colored like that, okay, taking that was God's promise, right, that we'd see the bow in the sky, the rainbow in the sky, that he wouldn't destroy the land again with the flood. But what have we done? We've perverted that.
Yeah.
And now we're saying we're bringing the blessing on the nation. What? From putting those colors on the White House spoke volumes.
That's right.
Of curses, I believe.
They were blaspheming God.
Because they're blaspheming God. And who put the rainbow on that building? But the men did. People did. People had to agree to do that. And so when
had to okay it.
And some people could have stood up against that, I would believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was there for all to see. It's on the internet. It's everywhere. It's been on TV. It
sure
really
has.
Is a slap in God's face, because that rainbow, that bow that God put in the sky was a reminder to him and to us that he would destroy the land again with flood.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't say it's not going to be destroyed with fire. What about fire?
That's going to come one day,
and,
too.
And, you know, floods still do come, and tsunamis do come, and earthquakes do come. And it talks about in the last day that all these things are going to happen.
And they're going to escalate.
And they're going to get, that's right, the earthquakes are going to increase, and they are increasing. And, you know, just because the whole earth and everyone's not going to die of a flood doesn't mean that many people won't die of floods, of, you know, small floods, but not the covering the whole earth where everyone's going to. But fires and all these different things that are going to happen. And you think it would wake up people, would wake up the nation, but it doesn't seem to wake them up. It seems that they just get worse and worse and worse. So, you know, we can say, well, God has us here for such a time as this. Well, that's true. Noah was there for such a time. Abraham was there for such a time. And we are here for such a time as this. And God knows. He knows the ones he puts in a place for such a time in history, you know. And so what? Each one of us have a part to do.
Hallelujah.
And God knew that those who would be able to do the right thing. So God does have people out there, and you know, those of you who are listening, and many people there, you know, Franklin Graham's going throughout the nation, going to every capital, calling people to pray.
Right.
See, what happened to Nineveh? Nineveh was a wicked, wicked city, wicked, wicked place, wicked king, wickedness was going on everywhere there. But, you know, God sent a man there who didn't want to go.
No.
He didn't want to go there. He fought God about going there. Mm-hmm. Jonah fought it, didn't he?
Yeah.
But God got him there.
Not by great tribulation, but he made it.
Not by tribulation, by much tribulation.
Yeah.
So it's better to yield to the Lord and not have to go through much tribulation like Jonah did, you know. And he didn't even like it when God decided that he was going to save Nineveh. Because what happened? When he went and he preached, and he didn't want to preach that message, but, you know, there's prophets in the Old Testament that preached messages that people wouldn't listen to. Many of them. And what did they do? They killed the prophets, didn't they?
Sure did.
They killed the prophets. And so, you know, he didn't want to go there and take that word to Nineveh. But because the king did what Jonah said, what God said through Jonah, that land was, that Nineveh could be a picture of the United States of America. It repented for a time. They fasted and they prayed.
And the king started it.
He initiated it. And he said that all people would fast and all animals would fast for 3 days.
Yeah.
And so what happened? So God relented and he gave them more time. But you know, they went back right back into that sin again.
About 100 years
later. But there was a time. Just like what happened around the 1900s.
Yep.
Okay, there was a great revival. Many people got saved. Many people got filled with the Holy Ghost. But now, what's happened now? 100 years later?
Or more.
We're back in a worse place
than we were before.
That's
right. So it's pathetic when we think about it. So
it's goes up and down, up and down. You know, it's interesting. You read the Bible, and we're reading through the Torah portions, just like the Jewish people do every year. That would be the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Torah. And so what happens? God raises up kings and he brings them down. You know, God raises up prophets and he brings them down. You know, there's always going to be the good and the bad with us wherever we're at.
Yeah, we heard the other day, I think it was there was 125 or something like that laws that were passed during the night hours that we don't even have any clue what they're about.
Last week.
That's right. And so we're like a toadstool in the shade. We don't know the truth. They don't give us the truth. They lie about the truth.
And look what's happening in our nation. Look what's happening in all these different cities. Look at all the riots. Look what's happening.
That's right.
If things don't change, if things don't get better, we're going to have the National Guard's going to be everywhere. You know, and this could stop. This could stop the election. This could cause a lot of things to happen. But you know what? God knows what's going to happen. And he knows everything.
Look what just happened in Dallas. It's incredible. You know, and all those police officers shot and all. You know, somebody got a rifle and went up on a roof.
Well, I think it was probably a machine gun, but
whatever it was.
But things are happening. There's riots and there's these protests are going on in many cities.
Whoever
and
thought that would be in America, though?
What are they going to turn into? They're turning into to violence.
That's right.
So what's the Bible called? What is violence? Violence is brings destruction and
sure
death.
Does. Whoever thought this would be in America, but here we are. So all of you listening, you better really vote the Bible when the election time comes. Don't vote because you like the way somebody speaks or their big smile in front of the cameras and they live like something else afterwards. You got to make sure that you vote for the issues that are out there. And I wish they'd quit running each other down and start talking more about the issues, how they're going to solve the things that need to help this country. Well, one thing is we got to repent from sin, but they don't want to talk about that. These laws have been passed and they don't want them to be changed. But see, laws can be changed.
But some people are. I mean, like you said, we have Gramp out there.
We got some righteous remnant out there, yeah.
That's right. And we have, just left my mind, he was running for president.
Huckabee. That's right.
Huckabee. He's out there. He's talking about the Bible.
That's right.
And you know, we're not voting for a pastor.
Nope.
No, which is not even the right thing to do anyway, because churches should not be voting for pastors.
Right.
God puts people in places, but many churches do vote pastors in and do vote them out.
That's right.
And you know, elders are not supposed to be doing that. So anyways, I don't know how I got that, but some people may be listening and say, gee, my pastor just got voted in or just got voted out.
No voting in the Bible.
God puts people in place. But you know what's going to happen there? We're not voting for a pastor or a minister. We're voting for a president. And so, you know, so what we need to look at, what does he say he's going to do? What are the changes he say he's going to make?
His moral standards.
And the main thing is, he says, if he gets people around him, you know, God can change the king's heart.
Sure.
And maybe a king starts out, you know, with a lot of pride and a lot of arrogance, da-da-da, but God can change the hearts of anyone. And actually, you know, if they're surrounded, if they're wise, and they become surrounded with those with believers, and then they say that they are going to put in the Supreme... See, that's very important, what's going to happen. The next people, they're going to be put into the
Supreme Court.
Yeah. And because whoever they put in there, they're the ones who make these final laws. They're the ones who...
Nine people control this nation.
Yeah, right. Right now, we have only eight of them in
there. That's right.
So there's going to be probably, they say there's going to probably be at least three during this next presidency. And so those three could actually change
the whole fabric
the whole
of America
thing and bring it back to a healthy balance.
Hope so.
Back to the way it should be, you know,
right.
At least in these areas that are so much that are coming against God that our nation has embraced.
That's right.
Well, anyways, that was my announcements. So I'm going to give you the phone number. So come visit us. We're here in Stuart, Florida. And like I said, and we're right on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza Shopping Center. And so I'm just going to give you our telephone number if you'd like to call us. And if you'd like to send an offering for this 19th anniversary of being on WCNO, we would certainly appreciate that because, you know, it does cost money for us to be on. And this month we're on five Saturdays. And so we have to pay quite a bit of money for each Saturday. So whatever the Lord would lay on your heart, I mean, you know, even if you send $5 or $10, whatever, if several people send it, you know, and you just get a few people, we would, it would help.
It all adds
up.
It
would help to defray the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Of being on WCNO. I also want to mention that we're also on the internet, so
mm-hmm.
You can listen to many of our broadcasts that you on the internet. Just go to WCNO.com and look at the programming for Saturday, and we're on there at 12 noon. You can go there and you can see Raising the Standard, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. So I wanted to mention that our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. Amen, Pastor
that's
Gene.
Right, that's right. So I just think about the years that we've known the Lord in a personal way, and it's going on 34 years now, and just we see how things has changed so drastically and so 100% against God's word in so many years, even in the churches today. And so we have to keep praying, and we do our part where we're at to lift up the things of God, declare that we want to walk a holy and righteous life before Him. That means we have to, as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what Yeshua said. And so He put all those statutes in place and all for our benefit. And that's what the Torah is all about, the five books, is to teach us how to walk a holy life. So we don't throw that away. We glean from that and the principles that are in a spiritual sense that God wants us to know today that we can walk a holy life with Him. This is what needs to be done in the country. And so we know that, and we have to continue to pray. And you know, one person, a new president, it doesn't matter who it's going to be, cannot change this whole nation. It's going to take a concerted effort with a population of everyone here. If everyone would come to an agreement and want to obey what the Word of God says. Well, a lot of people don't know the Lord, don't want to know the Lord, but we have to pray for souls. That's what we pray for. I pray for souls, that people will come in. As they come in one by one, that's what's going to change the fabric of America. I think about the apostles when they went out in the book of Acts. They went in those cities. They didn't make one blanket prayer and bind the king and all the rest of it. They thought everything was going to change. It didn't happen that way. They went in those cities, and one by one, these people were led to Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they prophesied and all that. And as one by one, they changed, and it changed the whole atmosphere and the environment in the city. I think about John the Apostle. He was on the island of Patmos in the book of Revelation. We see that. And when the new emperor came in, they led him off of that island, and he went back to Ephesus. Well, Ephesus was a wicked city, but if you study the history of Ephesus, you'll find out that when John went back, he lived there for quite a few years, and he was an elder in the church. We find out that slowly Christianity overwhelmed the paganism, and the city was totally changed and turned upside down for quite a while. But then when John and those men and all left, and they passed away, things turned around, and then Ephesus got right back to where it was before. So we've had some good men in our country that came. Our country was established on Judeo-Christian principles. Well, now we've drifted away from that. We don't want God in any fabric of our country whatsoever. And so we have to continue to pray, like Franklin Graham's going around the country praying. And so I'm not so much praying for America so much, the nation at whole. I'm praying for the people. The people need to come. When the hearts are changed, the nation will change. If the heart of the king's changed, the nation will change. Well, we have to change that as well. We don't have a king, but we have presidents that their hearts need to be right. But they're so afraid to do anything involving Christianity, or they won't even mention the name of Jesus. They don't want to do any of that. And so, because they're wanting to please all the people, so they'll get reelected. And it's a power struggle is what it is. And so we have to make sure that we pray the right way. Pray the right way. See what they believe. Don't just like them because they look good or whatever, or because a president might be half black and half white. We don't do that. We look at the total picture. What is God wanting to do with our country this time? We know so much needs to be changed, but where do we start? Well, we start little by little. Like it says in the Bible, when we study the Word, we learn what precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. This one has to be in little by little. Even when the Israel was taken into the Promised Land, God told him he was going to remove the ites. He wasn't going to remove them all at one time because they couldn't handle that. He took them out little by little, little by little. So if we'll do that in this country with our politicians and all, and they'll stand up for the truth and will not tolerate these things, well, then we'll be okay. But we got people in the political arena that lie, they cheat, they embezzle. You know, they're crooked. They're crooked. They're downright crooked. And they're not honest. And they change. You know, 3 years ago, they believed one thing. They didn't believe in same-sex marriage. Today, it's okay because they want votes. They want votes, okay? We don't want to close up the border because we want all these people to come in from every part of the world, and then they're going to get to vote, and that'll help us get in office. That's the thought they have. No, no, no. This is destroying our country. And I'm reminded what this says. I think we're going to go another way here today, Pastor Don. I'm going to go over to I'm going to go over here to Revelation chapter 18 with you. If you got a Bible, that's you're right. At home. Let's go take a look at this and see what God said about all this. And this is, you know, we know the tribulation period or the Jacob's trouble is primarily, its purpose is to touch Israel and give them a chance to come back again to the Lord, the grace and mercy there. So this excludes the church. The church is not in this from chapter 4 all the way to the end. So over in Revelation chapter 18, look what the Word of God has to say here in the first couple of verses. And after these things, John says, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Babylon the great is mentioned there. It's going to fall twice. It fell way back with Israel was this Babylonian spirit that's in the world right now is going to fall again. And it's become what? The habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So if we allow the Babylonian spirit that was back in those days and it's prevalent today in so many arenas, and some people even think America's part of that, we probably are with the sin we have. But what we've done, we have opened our borders and we have become a habitation of devils. All these false religious systems has come into America today. It's incredible what we have. And we're catering to a minority number of people to get votes. And this is in the whole of every foul spirit. There's a foul spirit behind every one of those false religious systems. And a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. He says right here now, John saw this, for all nations, it means the Gentiles, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, spiritual fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, who, with Babylon, the Babylon spirit. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Wow, unbelievable. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Well, who's my people here? It's Israel. This is all about them. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. This is the same thing with America. God's going to remember the iniquities that's going on in this country. They will be judged one day. We probably have a lot of selective judgments going to be coming. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, hear this, double unto double, according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith this. This is what America says. Listen to this in her heart. I sit as a queen, and I am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Boy, that's a lie if I ever heard one. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So means we're talking about this. I was going to talk today about something, and this kind of leads into that, I think, Pastor Donna, about we have a lot of debate and discussion and disagreements about Jacob's trouble, and we keep forgetting about it. It's called Jacob's trouble, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So this seven-year period called Jacob's trouble is about the nation of Israel. And so as I mentioned a moment ago, God's purpose for Jacob's trouble, or we call it the tribulation. It's in the Bible, isn't it? It mentions this. It excludes the church completely. And we got people teaching that we're going to go all the way through. We're going to go halfway through. We're going to go to pre-wrath, and then we'll be caught out here. And some don't even believe there's going to be a catching away in these days, okay? But we need to clarify some things and look and see what the Bible has to say about all this. And so every week I get another article across my desk from some publication I subscribe to that's talking about this, and such a debate there is. And I'm not going to mention the man's name, but he's well known. He wrote a book, and he's got a chapter at the end of his book. And when I read the book, the first part was wonderful. But when I got that last chapter, I closed it up. Because he was telling the church of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jew and Gentile, the Messiah, get ready to be martyred. Because he was claiming that we're going to wind up, most of us are going to die. We're going to be martyred, like it says in the book of Revelation. No, 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 no. We got to understand this and know what the Bible has to say. And so we got to remember that Jacob's trouble is primarily about the Jewish people, and that's what the book's about. When you get past chapter 4, verse 1, it shows that John was caught up into heaven, and he saw a door or a gate open, and he says, come up hither, and he went up, and he said, then I'm going to show you things hereafter, after the church age. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation is talking about the church age, all right, from the beginning to the end. Well, from that point on, the church is not mentioned again till we get to Revelation chapter 22, after Yeshua comes back and establishes his kingdom and all that. So what's this time all about? It's about the Jewish people. It's about Israel. It's about God's people. And this article I read this week was pretty good. There was a man in this article, and I've heard of him. His name is Gerald Stanton, and he explained some things in there about this to show how this is a time for Israel, for the Jewish people, and no one else. We talked about this last week when we talked about the one taken, the one left, all right? And we went over to Matthew chapter 24, and it says, after the tribulation, after Jacob's trouble, and we see that then it's all about Israel. But he has some interesting things he said here that I thought was interesting. He says the tribulation does not deal with the church at all, but the purification of Israel, to purify them, and that they come what? To what? Yeshua HaMashiach. And this time of, it's not the time of the church's trouble, but the time of Jacob's trouble. And he goes on, he says this is interesting. The emphasis of the Jacob's trouble is primarily what? Jewish. Did you get that? It's Jewish. The fact is borne out by Old Testament scripture, the first covenant. We've got lots of verses that we can look at. Deuteronomy 4:30, Jeremiah's got scriptures. Ezekiel 20, Daniel 12, and Zechariah. We're going to go over to Zechariah in a moment. And by the Olivet Discourse that Jesus had himself in Matthew 24, 9 through 26. And by the book of Revelation itself. Hallelujah. And we just read something here in chapter 18. It's all about Israel, okay? But there's something we can glean off this for our nation as well, because we've opened this up, our country, and it's like a birdcage for all these evil spirits that come into our land. Amen? Glory be to God. It concerns Daniel's people. Well, who's that? That's the Jews. The coming of the false Messiah. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. About the flight on the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath is really a Jewish thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The temple and the holy place. The land of Judea. The city of Jerusalem. The 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The son of Moses. Signs in the heavens. The covenant with the beast. The sanctuary, the sacrifice, and the oblation of the temple ritual. These all speak of Israel and clearly demonstrate that the Jacob's trouble is largely a time when God deals with his ancient people, Israel, prior to their entrance into the promised kingdom. The many First Testament prophecies yet to be fulfilled for Israel further indicate a future time when God will deal with this nation. And I'm just led here by the Lord to look up some of these verses. I'm going to take you over to the book of Deuteronomy. If you're at home, go with me. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's go over there and just see what the Word of God has to say. Lord, we thank you for your holy Word. Chapter 30. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Now listen to this. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, these are the Gentile nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. They're all the world now. and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now remember, this is what America needs to do too. He's talking to Israel here. Verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. All the land that they have now is not all they're going to get. This is only a portion of it. There's more. Verse 6, the last verse. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Live, huh? Not only physically, but eternally. And I was thinking about this. You know, I just finished reading the book of Jeremiah, and I'm about 20 verses, chapters or so in Ezekiel. Jeremiah mentioned three times in his book. He said, don't pray for this nation. He said, the people. He said, don't pray for this nation. Well, see, I talked a minute ago. I'm not so much praying for the whole nation, because God's not going to drop a blanket over America and change everything. But if we pray for souls to come into the kingdom of God, come to Yeshua, one by one, the fabric of America can be changed. That's what we're looking to. Now, the other verse I want to go to, let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 30 over in Jeremiah. I love that book. I just finished reading that. And I'll tell you, read Jeremiah. No wonder he's called the weeping prophet. As I read it, I felt I was just welling up myself thinking about all this stuff that we hear today in our country and the laws that we're breaking that God had put in place. You know, the biblical foundation.
Nothing will happen until the hearts of the people change.
That's it. So I'm going to take you to chapter 30, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. Now listen to this as well. I'm turning my pages here to get to you, to the place where I want you to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn my page. There we go. 30, 8 through 10. All right. One more page, Pastor Gene. All right, here we go. Look at this. Verse 8 says, and for it shall come to pass in that day, that means in the day of the Lord, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So we know this is about the false Messiah, right? But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Pretty powerful, huh? So the promises are there. So this time is for Israel. It's not for the church. It's for Israel. Amen? So we got to keep this in mind. I think about this one. Let's go back to the book of Revelation for a moment. I was thinking about this morning. Revelation, and I think it's in chapter 3. Let Pastor Donna read this. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's see where we want to go here. Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead, hon. You're on a flow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You know, these first three chapters in Revelation are all about the church age, and it shows you the history. And if you look down through history from the time that Christ was on the earth, you can see the stages that the churches went through and how we fit in to all these things that Jesus talked about. And he has a promise for every one of the churches. There's seven promises if they will overcome. And I tell you, I love it. I want all those promises. How about you, Pastor Don? I want every single one of those.
You know, it says here in chapter 2, you know, God does give people time.
Uh-huh.
It says here 21, it says, and I gave her space to repent.
That's right.
Of her fornications, and she repented not.
That's where our country's at. Now, where I want to take you was chapter 3, verse 10. Read this verse, Pastor Donna.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, says all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Amen. Then he says, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. him that overcometh will I make a pillar, listen to this, in the temple of my God, and shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, mm-hmm. which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my, what, new name. So verse 3 makes it clear, I will keep thee from the hour. It means out from this time, this hour of temptation. So we have to keep all this in mind when we talk about the book of Revelation. But from chapter 4, now look at chapter 4, verse 1. All of a sudden now, the thought and emphasis here changes. And John was given all this, and this was all written down. And can you imagine John? He got this. This is not the book of Revelations, no S on it. The revelation from the time that he was on the earth all the way out to the end when the kingdom was going to be established. That's enough to blow your mind right there and to try to be able to explain it in his day. But he did it the way God had it to be done, and it's all written down in this book. So now we go to chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I as John, looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. It's like a gate. And the first voice which I heard was, it were, of a trumpet. This is Feast of Trumpets. The trumpets. Trumpets was a picture and a pattern of resurrection. It's called the awakening blast on that day, those 2 days that they honor trumpets in Israel's history. They blow 100 shofars each of those days, 33 in the morning with a particular sound and emphasis, 33 at noon, the same way, different sound, and at 3 in the afternoon, what? They have a different sound, and they do it again. In the close of the evening, they have what? The last blast, the 100th blast, is called what? The awakening blast. This is the trumpet.
That's interesting. Those are many trumpets.
That's right.
Shofars. But here we're talking about a single trumpet.
A single trumpet.
And there's only one person who's blowing this single trumpet.
That's God.
That is God.
That's right. I heard, was it as it were, the voice were a trumpet talking with. See, a trumpet. Trumpet don't talk, but God talks. His voice is like a trumpet. Amen. Which said, come up hither. So he was taken up in the spirit, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, after the end of the church age, in other words. And then he goes into all these wonderful things he reveals to him. It's amazing when we look at all the wonderful things that God shows us here. And verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Who was that? The Father, the Almighty. Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about, and the throne in sight like an emerald. So we know that God the Father was on the throne, but we're going to find out here as we read on. We're going to do this or not, but you'll find out that the Lord was there. Yeshua the HaMashiach is there also. Mm-hmm. And then verse 3 says, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about. Here's our rainbow that's been perverted with the homosexual issue today. Round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now this is interesting. The jasper stone was the stone that was in the ephod of the high priest for the tribe of Reuben, okay? And the sardine stone was a stone for the tribe of Benjamin. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. The emerald, emerald.
That's the most valuable stone.
Emerald.
They say it's more valuable than a diamond.
The emerald was a stone for the tribe of Judah. So look what we have here.
Judah means praise.
We have Reuben, we have Benjamin, and we have Judah. Amen. What's Benjamin mean?
Huh? And Yeshua came out of what tribe?
Tribe of Judah.
Judah.
So it's referring to him.
Praise.
That's right. So Judah's an interesting one. Amen. And then, of course, Benjamin was a sardius stone.
Glory.
It's incredible. So who was the first son that came? It was Reuben. And then who was the last son that was born? It was Benjamin. Huh? And then we have the emerald, which is a picture of what? Of Yeshua, the tribe of Judah. An amazing picture just with that. You know, if we look at the first four people that was brought into this world from the patriarch, Jacob, we have... He had four children with Leah, didn't he? He had Reuben, he had Simeon, he had Levi, and he had Judah. Right there's the gospel message. Reuben means to see. Simeon means to hear. Levi means to be joined to. And Judah means what? To praise.
To praise.
Right here. It's right here in this, right here in verse 3. It's all there prophetically. And so we see what
And they all came from the wife he didn't really
That's
love.
That's right. The one he didn't
she had
love.
Pale eyes.
That's right. That's right. Then, yep. And of course, we know Benjamin. He came at the end with Rachel, and Joseph's name meant God will add, huh? And Benjamin, mm-hmm. what means the son of the right hand. So we have all these prophetic pictures and windows to show us about Israel. So from chapter 4, verse 1, you can read through here, and you show me any place in here, and I'll rethink this, where the church is mentioned in any way, shape, or form. It's not mentioned. None.
It's all about Israel.
It's all about the nation
of
Israel. So we're not here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Chapter 4, verse 1 shows that, hey, we're going to be caught off the earth. We will not be here. So I'm going to go over now to chapter 22, the last chapter in the book of Revelation.
John, he was calling up there
right.
to see.
He took him up in the spirit.
But yet there's going to be a trumpet.
Blown
from by God, who's going to call the saints up. Those who believe in Yeshua, because we're going to be taken out. Taken out before all of these terrible things happen on the earth.
So the church is absent from the tribulation, Jacob's trouble, from the book of Revelation.
It's called Jacob's trouble, and Jacob is Israel.
That's right.
So it's Israel's trouble.
So we go to chapter 22. I love verse 7. This is in red in my Bible. This is what Yeshua said. Behold, I come quick. It doesn't mean he's going to come soon, but when he comes, it's going to be quick. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What book? I think it means the entire Bible. Okay? And we can go on through here, and we'll look at some, see where I want to go here. Let's look at some more in red. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work, what? Shall be. Holiness and righteousness. Amen. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You know, the Jews called Gentiles dogs and ones. But when they come to the Lord, they're not dogs anymore. Hallelujah. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the church. This is the first time the church is mentioned now. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is the thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life, what? Freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. We got a lot of this going on today in the church. Deuteronomy chapter 4 tells us the same thing. Don't add to or diminish from the word of God. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now here's the conclusion of what I've been talking about here a little bit. Only pre-tribulation understanding is able to give full support to Jacob's trouble and the terms like the time of Jacob's trouble, as it says in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And as a passage specifically stating that Jacob's trouble is for Jacob, or who's that? Israel. John Wolver was another great man that lived years ago. He's passed away now. He said this, never are tribulation saints given the special and peculiar promises given to the church in the present age. The nature of the church, in contrast to Israel, therefore, becomes an argument supporting the pre-tribulation viewpoint. Since God's purpose for the tribulation, or Jacob's trouble, is to restore Israel, Jeremiah 30, verse 3 and verse 10, and judge the Gentiles, same chapter 30, verse 11 of Jeremiah, it is clear that this purpose does not include the church. I'll say that this purpose does not include the church. This is one of the reasons why she will be taken to heaven before the time called Jacob's trouble. The church's hope is a heavenly one, not participation in the culmination and restoration of God's plan for his earthly people, Israel. Amen? Pretty powerful, right, Pastor Don? It's powerful. So, it was never intended for the church. And we've had this teaching. I don't understand how it came into the church, but it's just not there. You know, but people still want to talk about it. and try to can bring more confusion into the church and all that. And I'm thinking about even the letters that Paul wrote. I'm going to go over to 1 Thessalonians with you for a moment. I want to read something out of here. If I get a page in my Bible, I should have had stuff, some notes in my Bible here so I can get to this real quick, but I didn't do that. So you're hearing a few pages rustling here, but that's all right, because I'm going to go over to 1 Thessalonians with you, and I want to show you a couple of things here as well. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Look at this. Whew. Verse 10, and to wait. We're still waiting. They were waiting in that day. We're still waiting. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, Yeshua, which delivered us from the wrath. Hear this? Which delivered us from the wrath to come. Well, Jacob's trouble is going to be what? It's going to be wrath. It's going to be a lot of judgments that's going to come from God. So it said we're going to be delivered from the wrath to come. I think that's a pretty nice promise there. Amen?
Amen.
Now, verse 13 in chapter 2. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Isn't that incredible? Verse 19 of chapter 2. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even yet in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, what? At his coming. This is not talking about him coming back to the earth. This is talking about the catching away of the church when he comes in the sky. Amen? Holy, holy. Now, chapter 3, verse 13 says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable. Now, listen to this. This is key. In holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And then we went into chapter 4. We've all read that. We understand what he said over there about the catching away over there. So that's important. And then we go into 2 Thessalonians right away. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He's talking about the catching away. All right? So he talks about all these things in this incredible, these two books about the catching away and what God's going to do. Amen? So we have to walk in a place with the Lord and to honor him in all that we do. Ooh. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So this is incredible. Now, this caught my eye. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. The times are the times of the year, and the seasons are what? The appointed times that God has in place. He said, yeah, I've already told you that. I've already taught those things to you before. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, a lot of people stop right there. That's where we make a mistake. Verse 3, for when they are those that are outside of the body of Christ, shall say, peace and safety, which is referring to Jacob's trouble, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, now he's talking to, not that one's outside, he's talking to ye brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. We should never be caught as a thief in the night, because we know the appointed times, we know the season of the year is going to come, we just don't know what year we're on yet, but it's all there. Look at the Shemitahs and all the things we've been talking about on our program over the years. He says, you are the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We got to be self-controlled and watch. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Whew. The sober means totally just having self-control. Now, like verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen?
Power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All right,
wow.
Pastor Dale, you got
That's
some...
a lot of meat, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
But you fed the people a lot of meat. So, you know, if someone would like a copy of this CD or a tape, but, you know, but most people want CDs, you can give us a call, and we'd be glad to mail that to you. The other thing is, if you'd like to just go back and listen to it again, you can go on your device, whatever you use, and you can go to, on the internet, to WCNO.com.
Thank you, Lord.
And go to Saturday, and you can listen to, look at the programming on there and go to Saturday. You can download their app. They have an app that you can download for the
Amen.
Radio station. They're 24/7 music and teaching on WCNO.com, and you can listen to this again and other teachings that are, many other teachings that are on there. Just go to Saturday and look for 12 o'clock noon with Raising the Standard, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. You'll be blessed again. And share this with somebody. You know, this radio station goes around the world. Anyone in the world can listen to us at any time. All they have to do is just have that website, and you can tell your friends and your relatives, and they can listen to us anywhere in the world. And what a blessing that is to be able to be on WCNO, and we just thank the Lord for them. Keep them in prayer as well. Amen. So we're just blessed to be on here every Saturday, Lord willing. This is our 19th year. If you'd like to send an offering, this is our anniversary.
That's right.
The 19th year.
Friday was our anniversary, yeah.
And so we would like, just, you can send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip code is 34995. That's Post Office Box 413, and
thank you,
just
Lord.
Address it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. If you'd like to come and visit us, we'd love to have you come visit us. We're in Stuart, Florida, and we have services on Friday and Saturday and also on Sunday. We love the Lord, and we just want to bring the Word of the Lord to God's people, to raise up people to seek God, to seek first the kingdom of God.
And holiness and righteousness.
And His righteousness. Yeah. And it says there in Matthew 6:33 that all these things will be added unto you. But there are some ifs, if we seek God.
If
we seek God. And if we seek,
and obey His commandments.
And obey His word. And that's what we are to do. Raise the standard. Each one of us, if we each one of us raise a standard in our own personal lives, then we will see those same standards being raised in our family, in our schools, in our cities, in our nation, you know, in the world. So each one of us has to do something. So just go out and do what the Lord has called you to do, because you have been given gifts and callings for, you know, we're all members of the same body, the body
That's right.
of Christ. And so we are all to be able to do and do the work of the Lord. Well, the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So if you've been blessed with this, give us a call and tell us. We'd like to be encouraged too. So we love you. We're on this program because we do, and we want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. So we tell you every week as we close this program to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Standard.